for temporary pending the adoption of a guardianship order.
But there are already provisions for temporary guardianships and also certain types of temporary conservatorship orders. So you can go in now and get some sort of emergency something if you need to.
Representative Bellamy.
In that case, normally the person that's going to object or file written objections to the petition is going to be the individual themselves or another friend or relative, right?
In my experience, that's correct.
I just find that 10 days and 15 days is a very short period of time. You get somebody that they're wanting to file or declare that they're incapacitated. They're obviously probably not thinking real clear at that point, and 10 days is, or even 15 days seems to be a short period of time. I am much more comfortable with going back to 30 days.
Let me ask a question. Ollie, is there any reason that line 8 of the Dash 2 amendments cannot be deleted without affecting the rest of the amendment?
No. I think you could take it out.
Representative Bellamy?
If I can answer this question just for a second in terms of how these came about. Since we have reinserted the ability of a person who's getting a conservator to waive notice and let that process go through, I have to say personally I agree with you. But I think since we've reinserted the ability of the conservatorships to go more smoothly and let the person waive and consent, then the notice really applies more, will apply more often to a guardianship situation, and more appropriately so, I think.
Representative Bellamy, do you move the Dash 2 amendments excluding line 8?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair.
And I'll place that motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection to that motion? So ordered. Bill?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 783 as amended to the full committee.
With a due pass, and I'll place that motion. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, Gloria, we call the roll.
Bellman?
All right.
Bellman?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Volunteers?
Yes.
Representative Bellman, thank you. House Bill 2643. No,
big one or
little
one? The big
one. Counsel, you bring us up to date. We last heard this.
I think it was May the 7th.
Okay. Did we do lose this one?
Well, I'll try to bring us up to date. If you'll recall, when we had this up for public hearing, Mr. Marcus and Mr. Irvine were sort of in the process of working with legislative counsel to draft amendments. I believe those amendments have gone by the side, and the amendments 2643-3 are the live amendments, which you should have in your packet.
Mr. Irvine and Mr. Marcus, will you come forward and one or the other of us, other of you, concisely tell us whether or not the Dash 3 amendments are the amendments that you agree, and concisely tell us exactly their effect.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Jim Irvine with the Oregon State Homebuilders Association. We support the Dash 3 amendments, and we can go through by section that are underlying what those amendments in fact do if you wish us to do that.
Maybe Mr. Marcus wants to approach it. I asked that you would concisely tell us the effect of the Dash 3 amendments. I surely leave you the option and the freedom to do that, but I did put the emphasis on that word.
Concise? Well, we'll do it as concise as possible. If you'll look to Section 1, Mr. Chairman, the purpose of Section 1 is a change in the current law to state that a utility company shall not transfer a tenant's utility bill to an owner without the written consent of the owner, and that's simple, and that's a change from current practice. Section 3 essentially establishes a...
One moment.
Mr. Chair?
Section 1?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Irvine and Mr. Marcus, you're not having any effect on the lien law of this state, are you?
No.
No, we are not.
Mike Marcus, Legal Aid, Portland. There's no effect on the lien law. That's a change from the prior amendments that you last saw.
Representative Dix.
Well, can't you just tell us what the amendments do, just in three sentences or 5 minutes? Or, do we have to go section by section?
Representative Dix, Mr. Chairman.
What's the difference between the amendments and the bill, for starters?
There are some substantive changes from the amendments and the bill.
Okay. What are those?
The amendments are technical corrections to essentially existing law, except for, I believe, about three changes. Is that correct, Mike?
That's, I agree with that.
What are the three changes? If I might, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
What are those three changes?
Well, one is to take the resident manager, who may be excluded from the Landlord-Tenant Act under many circumstances, and provide that although that person is not covered by the Landlord-Tenant Act, it is necessary to bring an eviction action to take that person out of possession. You can do it on a 24-hour notice. Another significant change in...
Where are you while you're thumbing through?
I'm going to page 3.
That is section 3. Representative Dix, that was section 3.
Okay. You're on page 3 now?
Page 3, the underlying language on the bottom of page 3. Adds a provision which codifies present practice to the redemption right in an eviction action based on non-payment of rent if a tenant counterclaims, pays rent into court. The tenant will prevail on the issue of possession if the amount paid into court or any balance found due equals the amount of rent paid. This simply provides that if it's necessary to pay a balance to retain the right of possession, then the landlord doesn't have to pay the tenant's attorney fees, because it wasn't until after the trial that the landlord was clear that the landlord was going to lose regardless of the outcome of trial, unless it was bad faith. That essentially codifies existing practice.
The rest of the changes up through page 12 essentially are to clarify what has been considered or interpreted in the current landlord-tenant law, and in some cases is not being practiced by the judiciary, and so we've just made it more clear. On page 12, however, there is a change, and that is it would require the landlord to provide one 30-gallon container for garbage collection in cities over a population of 250,000, which essentially is the city of Portland. And then the last item.
Slight precision on that. The requirement, landlords must already provide receptacles, and unless the parties agree otherwise, the landlord has to provide for removal of garbage service. This change on page 12 provides that in cities over 250,000 people, the landlord must provide garbage removal service. That garbage removal service must essentially remove 30 gallons a week of garbage, whether it's 60 gallons 2 weeks or 30 gallons a week.
I agree with that clarification, Mr. Chairman. And on page 13, section 12 on essentially allows requires the real estate division to develop a specialty property management license and certification for property managers. And that is the balance of the bill. Sections 12 on, Mr. Chairman, were drafted between the real estate division with Morella Larson and the legislative council.
And Mr. Chair, one final question.
Representative Dix.
And you're both in agreement on these amendments?
We are.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
To your knowledge, the real estate division agrees to these amendments?
To our knowledge, yes, Mr. Chairman. Both Steve Hawes, the Assistant Director, and Morella Larson, the Director of the Real Estate Division, at our request, drafted these amendments and submitted them to Legislative Council for form and style.
So, yes,
they support it, yes.
The Residential Landlord-Tenant Law is ORS what?
91,700 to 895. Some of these provisions are intentionally placed outside the Residential Act, such as the resident manager who is excluded from the Act. Likewise, the provisions for property manager licensing do not get put in the Landlord-Tenant Act. That was important to us, that it not be part of the Act.
Part of this bill is in the Landlord-Tenant Act. Part of it is not.
That's correct.
I mean, the residential landlord.
That's correct.
Thank
That's
you.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
Further discussion? Yeah, we're in work session, Representative Dix.
I would move the dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2643.
New Representative Dix moves the amendments, and I'll place that motion for the printed bill. Is there objection to the amendments? Yes, I object. Will you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Bellman.
Aye.
Dix.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Hamlin.
No. Motion is adopted. Sure. Representative Dix.
I would move
House Bill 2643 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
And I'll place that motion. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Do we have anybody here from the real estate division?
No, but I would interpret that the representations that you received from Mr. Irvine and Mr. Marcus relating to that, I am satisfied that those are accurate representations and that they are in agreement with the form of the bill based on somewhat extensive cross-examination the first time we heard this bill.
Excuse me.
We do not, though, to my knowledge,
Mr.
do we?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I'm going to vote for this measure, but I want to serve some notice that I'm going to do some checking or something on page 20. When it defines the real estate property manager, it says that an organization may be licensed as a real estate property manager as long as they have an individual who qualifies for the license. I want to check on that. A lot of real estate offices manage rental properties. And if this is going to state that those real estate properties or those offices are going to have to now have a license as a property manager and then have somebody that qualifies for the license, that's a substantial change that I've got to do some thinking on.
Okay. Is there further discussion of this from committee members?
You know,
Mr. Irvine may be able to answer.
You want to state the question, Bill?
I think he knows the question, the situation.
Representative Bellamy, Mr. Chairman, the real estate property manager's license would be a specialty license similar to an appraisal license. A real estate broker would be certified as an appraiser as well as a real estate property manager, all specialties. That's what the broker's designation is. It's an all-encompassing license. And the purpose of having a specialty real estate license would allow a company to operate without a real estate broker's license and as a property management firm. That is the intent, and that is specifically in the practice.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to really vote for this. I still have some concerns. I understand that, but then it goes on to state that they must have somebody who qualifies for the manager's license. And I want to make sure from the real estate division that isn't going to require relicensing of an individual. I don't have any problems with the intent.
Further comments from the committee? I do. I voted no, and I intend to vote no. My rationale relates to amending the Landlord-Tenant Act, in particular the Residential Landlord-Tenant Act, based on representations that this is now existing practice by people who are obviously representing the metropolitan interests without regard to what the practices well may be in the rural areas, and without regard to amendment of the Residential Landlord Tenant Act, which I consider a major policy issues and should not be amended lightly or at all, as far as I'm concerned, without good reason. I intend to vote no and carry that message to the main committee. Further discussion? Hearing none. Gloria, will you call the roll?
Aye.
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 No. Motion is adopted. Volunteers? You want me to carry it?
I'll carry it.
Representative Dix.
Mr. Chair, I...
Representative Elney.
I probably should declare a potential conflict of interest where we're voting on things that deal directly with a real estate license, and I have one, and my office deals extensively in the management of rental properties.
Representative Bellamy, I think under the House rule, if the group of people included is of substantially large enough number that such a declaration is not necessary, but you may want to, just for safety's sake.
I would tell you that there's not the large number of real estate offices dealing in rental property management. That's my concern, Mr.
Ian Culver?
The House rule does not refer to Culver. We'll close the work session on 2643 and open it on 2511. Council, can you... I asked for you to do a little bit of work on this, and perhaps I can ask you to bring us up to date, and then perhaps Representative Bauman has some comments, too.
Okay, House Bill 2511 creates a Commission on Juvenile Law Revision, and it would establish certain guidelines for the commission. It appropriates blank amount for the biennium. At your direction, I had amendments drafted. I believe you have a hand engrossed copy to reflect the dash one amendments. The amendments delete all of the preliminary whereases.
Oh, good.
It also, the amendments also delete on page 2, section 3, which sets out very specific guidelines for the commission. And the effect of that is to give the commission more discretion in conducting this study.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy. Well, one moment, please. Representative Bauman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a brief conversation earlier this afternoon with Judge Stephen Harrell, who is the new president of the Juvenile Judges Association, the name of which I wrote down and didn't bring with me to committee today. But I think we can get some help. Do you want to come up and help me out here? And let me just state for the committee what the three suggestions that Judge Harrell made, I think all of which would make this process, which, by the way, he very heartily recommends based on the age and disjointedness of the current juvenile code. The three recommendations were, first, that rather than use a new commission on juvenile law revision, we use the group, which is called...
For the record, I'm Barbara McGuire, and I'm Executive Director of the Juvenile Court Judges Association. The group to which Representative Bauman is referring is the Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition.
The Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition.
Correct.
Thank you, Barbara. And add...
Well, let me stop you there, Representative Bauman. The Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition... For what purpose?
Well, I'm getting there. The real purpose is that the object was to get by the need of Section 5, which appropriates money from the general fund to the Commission on Juvenile Law Revision, or at least to cut costs as much as we could, it being my impression that at this stage, a referral to Ways and Means would be devastating to the object.
And it has a subsequent referral. It carries.
I understand that.
So let me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could finish, the addition to the Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition of members of the House, I assume appointed by the Speaker, and members of the Senate, appointed, again, I would assume, by the President, would not only allow a legislative oversight kind of participation in the revision, but would allow some impetus to continue this into the next session of the legislature and hopefully arrive at some success in achieving the recommendations of the coalition. That really takes care of two of the recommendations. It takes care of all three. The object is to retain on page 3 sub 2, which allows the way it's written, the Commission on Juvenile Law Revision may accept gifts, grants, or services, may contract with nonprofit organizations, basically can scrape up money wherever money is available for their activities. So what I guess what I'm asking for are three changes. To change this to the Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition, to add membership of members of the legislature, and to scratch the appropriation, although I think we may need a token appropriation, and I think we will still need to have an account designated as, you know, whatever the coalition law revision account, because I think that the grant money will have to be administered, but I'm not legislative counsel. I think they'd need to work on these amendments. And what I'd like to ask, Mr. Chair, is that if you would indulge me, this is an important revision, but I'd like to take some time and work on those amendments and discuss them with some other members of the body and possibly some other folks who are working with juvenile justice right now.
Let me ask you a question, Representative Bauman. The Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition would take the place of the non-legislative members?
That's my assumption at this point,
Let me ask
yes.
a question of you, Barbara.
Certainly.
What is the composition?
Representative Hamlin, the composition of the coalition is currently quite broad-based and includes representation from
What is the body?
I'm not certain what you're asking.
All right. Go ahead, Chief.
I was going to tell you the kind of representation. We have representation, obviously, from the judges, from the juvenile directors, from Children's Services Division, from the Juvenile Services Commission, from the District Attorneys Association, Mental Health, Juvenile Rights Project, at least two citizen members at this point.
Two out of how many?
Roughly 20.
Uh-huh. Keep going.
I'm forgetting someone. I don't know who it is right offhand. Currently, it is chaired by Don Miller, who I suspect many of you are familiar with.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy, I'm sorry.
I would have a recommendation. I would have a recommendation that we adopt. We find out if there's any objections to these amendments, and if so, my recommendation would be that we go ahead and send this to full committee and have these amendments drafted. And at that point, we could go ahead, because since this is a House bill, we probably shouldn't delay action. If there's no objection to the amendments, and I personally have none.
The dash one.
The dash one or the conceptual amendments, I think is the question.
Really what you're looking at, Representative Bellamy, is two separate amendments. One is to passed this on, and I directed that the amendments to clean up the bill, and then Representative Bauman is really basically advocating a separate alternative. I just wanted to state my concerns on, and Representative Bauman is saying, give me a chance to go back and work with amendments that cut down the fiscal impact if possible, and to work with the Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition. I'll raise my objections right now because they may be founded, they may be unfounded, and tell you, Judy, what I'm thinking. I'm very wary that a 20-member existing group that has all of the same interests we have here constantly working at solutions has a broad enough base with only two citizen members on it. And I would much prefer to go the route of a governor giving a more broad-based or maybe an outside look at the entire system than to proceed, even if we do have to send this to Ways and Means, than to proceed on substituting for the non-legislative portion. And the Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition, at the same time, I do have concerns about creating another body. I just think from the composition that was described, there's not enough outside interest, outside the system interest. That's my reaction.
May I make another suggestion based on your reaction, Mr.
Sure.
Chair? My other suggestion would be that I meet with you before drafting the amendments and also speak with Judge Harrell, who's the president of the Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition. And I think what we call this may not be important to the goal of being able to get up and running relatively quickly with people who have experience in the field or to saving money. I agree with your concerns about citizen members, and I also have a concern that any group that has 20 people participating in it is going to have, with an addition of 4, 5, or 6 legislative members, is going to have difficulty doing much of anything.
Representative Bauman, I would consider at least the bills in my experience, and maybe Bill, you could correct me, but a commission of this type, normally you're going to have one from the House and one from the Senate, at most two from each.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy.
If the object of this commission is to rewrite the juvenile law, let me tell you, it's a very technical thing you're going to be doing. If the object of this is to completely redo the juvenile justice program in the state, that's a different thing, and I've served on a governor's committee there, and it's very broad based. If it's strictly to rewrite the juvenile justice code, I would tell you the best thing this body could do is a very simple measure, and that is to just direct the Juvenile Judges Coalition to do it. You don't need broad based citizens. You need a technical people that will sit down and rewrite it. Because what you're really doing is not establishing policy. You're trying to reorganize the Juvenile Justice Code.
I think you've gotten to the heart of it, Representative Bellamy, and I'd appreciate the chance to sit down with you and Representative Bauman and to at least make up my mind which of those two directions that we're going, and then ask Representative Bauman to be in charge of taking care of any amendments we need, and I'll bring the bill back up next Wednesday night.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would also recommend that maybe we look at seeing if there's a Senate bill that could be handy to amend this into. I really don't think a House bill stands much of a chance. And we shouldn't have to have a fiscal impact to any great extent if we give this commission the authority, this already existing deal, the authority to do it and to collect money. That's about all we're really saying to pay for expenses.
I understand. Further discussion on the bill? If not, I'll close the work session on 2511.
Mr. Chair, before Barbara leaves, maybe we should ask her to kind of give us an idea if there's a Senate bill handy that we could work on. in the next couple days to review.
I'm not aware of a representative. I'm not aware of one that has an obvious relationship, but I'd have to research a little bit exactly what it is that has been introduced and gone through process for the Senate. If there's something, I definitely will bring that information back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's your buddy.
I'll close the work session on 2511 and open it on Senate Bill, reluctantly, on Senate Bill 301.
Reluctantly?
Reluctantly.
Or there...
Oh.
This was Randy's bill.
Council, can you remind us of... Well, no, you needn't remind us. We have some representatives from the Oregon State Bar here to answer the questions that we had Tuesday night.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Could I ask Diana Godwin a question? Is it a requirement of every one of your committees of the Oregon State Bar to produce one piece of legislation?
I know.
In order to have a committee?
You want them to cut back? Is that
keep
it?
Keep busy.
I would like to volunteer to represent Bellamy that I was on a bar committee that did not produce any legislation.
Oh, bless you.
Is that why you're no longer on it?